The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into this, everybody. Hello and welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to start out the program today by telling you that what is happening, what is unfolding right now in the White House is about a million times worse than what happened during Watergate. We are watching a scandal of historic proportions unfold before our very eyes. By the way, hello, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. And we have a lot of moving parts. I want to start out with some news coming out of CNN, where apparently Democrat governors are having a meeting, have held a meeting, and things are not looking very good. These Democrat governors got together on a phone call, and there were no staff, no White House officials, no campaign people. So whoever was on that call, which was one of the governors, they're the ones who leaked this information to CNN. But these Democrat governors are all very alarmed at the silence coming from the White House after the disastrous debate last week. And it seems to me that if you're on that Biden campaign, you've got your guy on the phone 24/7, or at least between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., calling and talking to the top Democrat leaders in your party. Why would you not be doing that? But again, this is the hubris of Joe Biden and the Biden crime syndicate. They believe that they truly are kings and queens. That's who they are. And by the way, Biden's gotten away with everything. I would say with murder, I don't know, but he's gotten away with everything for years, for decades, because they've got the goods on everybody. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why the Democrats haven't already pulled the trigger on this whole Biden administration, because they know that Biden and the crime syndicate, they've got stuff on everybody. They've got dirt. So anyway, these Democrat governors held a call yesterday afternoon. And Governor Tim Walz out of Minnesota was the guy who was organizing this meeting on behalf of the Democratic Governors Association. Jake Tapper got a hold of this, and I'm going to read this to you. It's fascinating stuff. On the call, governors expressed concern about what's going on with the president. However, they know if they come forward publicly with those concerns, it'll cause Biden to dig in more. They were also surprised none of them had heard from him. There was discussion on the call about wanting to have a call with the campaign or the White House, some discussions about having VP Harris address the governors. There was strong sentiment they needed to hear directly from President Biden. So they're trying to set up some sort of a meeting either at the White House or via Zoom. If I were them, I'd be doing that in person. The White House knows of the request, but they're not commenting. They're not talking to anybody. And the Democrat governors say they just need to hear from Biden. So there's a lot going on there. Last night, Carl Bernstein of the Woodward and Bernstein fame has revealed some information. And I want you, and you're going to be hearing a lot of this through the day, and I want you to understand this. They've all known. I know that the folks at CNN and MSDNC, they're all feigning shock. We had no idea. We had absolutely no idea the cheese had slid off the man's cracker. We had no idea. This is news to us, but it's not. They've known, they've all known that Biden has not been well. It's been going on for at least 2 years. So Carl Bernstein on CNN last night drops a couple of bombshells. Cut number 10.
Carl, according to the people you've been talking to, what are you hearing?
Well, these are people, several of them, who are very close to President Biden, who love him, have supported him, and been among them are some people who have raised a lot of money for him. And they are adamant that what we saw the other night, the Joe Biden we saw, is not a one-off, that there have been 15, 20 occasions in the last year and a half when the president has appeared somewhat as he did in that horror show that we witnessed. And what's so significant is the people that this is coming from, and also how many people around the president are aware of such incidents, including some reporters, incidentally, who have witnessed some of them. But here we see tonight, as these people say, President Biden at his absolute best, and yet these people who have supported him, loved him, campaigned for him, see him often, say that in the last 6 months particularly, there has been a marked incidence of cognitive decline.
So he went on. Here's Bernstein, more of that interview, cut 11.
What I wonder about is the people who were, you know, working with him at Camp David, allegedly in this intensive debate prep, if there were concerns there about this, and I don't know if you have got any word about that, but how anybody involved in that debate prep, I mean, didn't anybody see something?
Well, the debate prep was supervised by Ron Klain, who has been with President Biden for many years. And people I've talked to have all been to Ron Klain in the last year to say, we have a problem. We have a problem such as we saw the other night, that there have been numerous instances where the president has lost his train of thought, can't pick it up again. There was a fundraiser at which he started at the podium, and then he became very stiff, according to the people there, as if it were almost a kind of rigor mortis.
This was reported allegedly in June of 2020.
This was June of, this was a year ago almost exactly at the old Four Seasons restaurant on Park Avenue. And he became very stiff and a chair had to be brought for him to do the latter part of the event.
All right. This was stunning. I was watching this in real time last night and I'm sitting there and I'm, this is insane. So to the point I was explaining before we played all of this is that everybody knew. The donors knew. They were there. Now imagine if this had been Donald Trump, right? So Donald Trump is giving a speech at some sort of a private fundraising event. All of a sudden he goes stiff as a board and they got to bring people over. They got to bring in a chair and they've got to physically sit the president down in the chair. It would be all over the news. It would have been all over the place. But this happened and nobody said anything. They kept it all very hush-hush on the QT. Everybody's been protecting Joe Biden. Now, a lot of the speculation is that Biden was going to make it through the election. He was going to win and he would then step aside and allow Kamala Harris to take over. But the problem with that is they now realize that Kamala Harris is not qualified. And they are in a very, very tough spot. Look, this is all great news for Donald Trump. All Trump needs to do is get out there, hold these rallies, stick to his talking points of his campaign, and he's going to win in a landslide. The Democrats are literally coming unglued right now, and there's really not much they can do. They have backed themselves into a corner with this DEI stuff. And that's the only reason that Kamala Harris is actually on the ticket. So look, remember what I've been saying this for months now, that the reason why Gavin Newsom, remember when Newsom came out, did the debate on Hannity, and I told you then, Newsom's not going to be the guy. He can't be the guy because he's white, he's rich, and he's heterosexual. That those are three big no-nos in the Democrat Party last night. So anyway, on Stephen A. Smith's show, there was a California delegate for Joe Biden. Her name is Areva Martin. By the way, this woman is an attorney. So I want you to understand this. The woman is an attorney. And she says the Democrats better not pick another white guy. Otherwise, it's going to be a deal breaker for black female voters. Take a listen.
First of all, Stephen, who are we agreeing? There's a long list of Democrats, Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer. The list goes on and on and on. You've named four or five people. Where is their consensus? You've got to build consensus. And there is not consensus right now. If you pick a white man over Kamala Harris, black women, I can tell you this, we're going to walk away. We're going to blow the party up. If you pick the black woman.
Where you going to walk away to, Areva? Where you going to walk away to? You going to walk away? You ain't going to walk away to Trump.
Over Kamala Harris. So where are we getting agreement from on who this ideal Democratic candidate should be?
All right, there you go. We going to blow the party up. That's, look, she's absolutely right, and they will. They will. They're not going to be able to vote for a white guy. So at that point, there goes Booty Juice, because I think the problem with Booty Juice is not that he's gay, it's that he's white. That's the problem. It is over. The days of a white man heading up the Democrat Party, those days are over, folks. And I know that's hard for people like Booty Juice and others to grasp, and maybe Newsom, but it's the truth. And I appreciate this woman saying, hey, look, not going to happen. And so now you have to get a DEI team together, and you have to figure out, okay, What sort of a candidate would appeal to the black women of the Democrat Party? This is going to be fascinating to watch unfold. But right now, Biden is staying in it, ladies and gentlemen, unless these governors and others get together. And by the way, behind the scenes, Obama is enraged over all of this. I mean, the party is in great turmoil, and it's delicious. All right, got to take your calls on this, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I'm just curious, who do you think is going to be the nominee for the Democrats? And who would you like to see President Trump pick? By the way, there's some talk, scuttlebutt, that Condoleezza Rice may be back in the mix as a VP running, as a running mate. Now, imagine what would happen if you got Donald Trump with his number surging on the black community, and then he picks Condoleezza Rice as his running mate. A black female who identifies as a black female. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926. You think Biden goes or stays? 901-260-5926. Well, there is an interesting story out of Tennessee. And I want you to listen to this city councilman who's come under fire for some of his comments regarding Pride Month. You know, we just came out of an entire month of celebrating men who stick their private parts into other men. And, well, anyway, take a listen to cut number two.
all this Pride Month, if you look at it, the Prince of Pride is Satan. And that is a statue. I think that's, I think it's Baphomet. And so what he does, he indoctrinates children.
It's a lack of understanding and really just pure hate.
All right, there you go. This city councilman, his name is Travis Holloman, and he was delivering a presentation in advance of the Pride Festival in Clarksville, Tennessee. And he said that the Prince of Pride is Satan. It is one of the deadly sins, isn't it? Pride. And anyway, the poor guy, he resigned from the Parks Board while remaining on the city council. Now, he said that he really hated this. I'm just going to read this from the Fox 17 report out of Nashville. And he said, I really hate doing this, but wanted to say my piece. And he raised questions about diversity, equity, and inclusion officers. And he said, what's the difference between a DEI officer and a communist propaganda officer? Is there an agenda being pushed on Clarksville's children? Now look, it's a great question, not just in Clarksville, Tennessee, but also all over America. And he said his piece, and it is causing all sorts of chaos across the state of Tennessee. As a matter of fact, one city councilwoman said that his comments were horrifying, and she said that his presentation represented slave hate. What does that mean? As a mother and a sister, everything you said was absolutely against every ounce of my family value of unconditional love. I will also say I served this nation for 21 years. I have a son on active duty in the Navy. It's a lack of understanding and just pure hate. It is a slate of hate. Is that true, though? I mean, when you look at what's happening across this country, we went into graphic detail yesterday about these horrifying gay pride parades in California and in Washington State, and you have to ask yourself, what is the point of these men stripping down and wandering around the streets butt naked, fornicating in front of children? Why do they want to expose the children to this? And again, what you do inside the privacy of your home is your business. What you do inside a privately owned gay club is your business and the business of the owner. But when you're out in public, why? What? How does the gay agenda, how is that advanced by all of this gay sex in public that we saw over the weekend? I'm just curious about that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. Bob is listening to us on WSJS, wants to weigh in on politics. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I listen to you often, but let me just preface the question I have. I'm an independent voter. I vote for the person, not the party. But the question I've got for you, and I hope you've got the answer, several weeks ago it was reported that the RNC has a rule that a convicted felon cannot be the nominee. So if that's true, how can Trump be the nominee?
I don't believe that to be the case. The RNC does not have a rule on that.
Oh, okay.
Where did you find that information at, Bob? We'll hunt it down.
Well, I don't remember the source now. It was several weeks ago on the radio, and I just don't remember.
Yeah, but so
I thought you might know.
Well, yeah. So here is this is the latest from the Associated Press. The 2024 Republican convention rules do not address that issue at all. So there is no rule that would ban Trump from the ballot. I hope that's helpful.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it seems like that would have already come out by now. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Bob. Happy to help out. That's what we're here for. And thank you for listening. Hang tight, folks. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies. There's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Are you getting ready for Independence Day? I am so excited. Always love the celebrations, the parades, the red, white, and blue, the fireworks. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. BT is listening to us in Memphis, Tennessee on KWAM. Hi, BT, what's on your mind?
It didn't bother nobody, but let me tell you something, man. All kind of perverts is out the closet now. See, they, what they want to do is recruit kids.
Oh, you're talking about the LGBT. You're talking about the these LGBT folks, the ones running around in the parades.
And the children play ball and stuff. That just run real, play ball and stuff.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I think they are trying to recruit kids, and I appreciate that call, by the way. Thank you. It is about grooming, and maybe, just maybe, they want to, you know, they want to normalize this sort of behavior where you're literally having sex, you're pleasuring yourself in front of children. That used to be a crime, but now it's becoming normalized, and they're doing that in San Francisco and Seattle. By the way, not a single news story in Seattle or San Francisco addressed that behavior. Not a one. Let's go to Barry in Florida. Hi, Barry. What say you?
Hey, hi, Todd. This whole thing is amazing to me that Americans, most Americans, the overwhelming majority of Americans, go along with this. I have no problem with people doing it. It's America. They have a right to do whatever they want, but do it behind closed doors. Don't push it in my face. I have friends that are gay. And they're great guys, and we speak, we do a lot of stuff. They never push it in my face. They never show anything in front of me, which is fine. But personally, I believe in most cases, the overwhelming majority, this is a mental problem. And when they go on the street and they run around naked in front of little children, they're proving my point that there is a mental problem here. And that's not well, and it's never, ever going to be normal. I mean, through evolution, this cannot be normal. Yeah, period. I'm a science person. This is not normal scientifically.
Barry, so, I just don't. Here's what I don't get. Where are all of the, because I'm with you, there are so many gay people around this country. They want to be left alone. They just want to live their lives. They're not shoving anything in our face. And I respect that, right? It's America. You can live your life however you want to live your life here. But my question is, these gay pride organizers, why aren't they cracking down on this stuff? Because it reflects very badly when you've got swimming pools and people are literally urinating on men in public. This makes no sense to me.
It shouldn't make any sense because you're normal, not like them. But the trouble is the society now has been frightened to say anything. I'm so old right now that it doesn't make a difference to me. I say what's on my mind. This is ridiculous. Americans have been frightened by the FBI, the CIA, all this crazy nonsense people that are abusing people and that threatening people like I've never seen in my life before. They're frightened. So they let this stuff slide by. But the children are absorbing this. And this is so outrageous for children. Absolutely. The schools are promoting this. This is crazy. This is we're in a very crazy situation here. This got to be corrected. It must be corrected. My grandchildren are at stake, and I won't tolerate it as a senior person. And I don't care what party you're from. This is wrong. It's always been wrong. It's wrong on every single level, and Americans have to stand up. Stop hiding behind a bush. Stand up and say, no way, this is not going to go, period. That's my belief.
Barry, look, it's a great thought, and I'm with you. You got to protect your kids. You got to protect your grandkids, and you got to speak out. And the problem is that they have conditioned at least two generations of Americans to stay silent, and that's a problem in my book. Barry, appreciate that call. And I will say this, on this radio program, we're not going to be silent. We're not going to be quiet about this stuff. Come on. And again, if you want to, it's America. If you want to pee on somebody, do it in the privacy of your own bathroom, for crying out loud. Jeez, Lou. All right, let's go to North Carolina, Angela, WSJS, our great station there. Hi, Angela, what's going on?
Hey, how are you, Todd?
Angela, I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Thank you for asking.
Yes, we are very concerned. We always want you well. So I was asking, and I wanted to see if you would remember, when you mentioned Condoleezza Rice a little bit ago, I said to myself, does Todd Starnes not remember Angela calling from North Carolina and saying one thought would be to go to Condoleezza Rice? I bet you don't remember.
Well, in all honesty, I don't remember, Angela, but I'm going to take your word for it and say you were right back when, you know, when you called it. I think that she would be a very interesting choice and would certainly unify, you know, the other side of the Republican aisle, talking about the rhinos and the establishment types. I like her. I like Condoleezza.
She had a great rapport. She has experience. She is a woman. Goodness, can we check those boxes? Not that I think it should always be how qualified you are. It doesn't matter whether you're purple and pink and polka dotted to me. But, you know, she came up in my mind when you asked one day, call in and say who you think should be the VP. I don't remember how long ago it was, but
she's an incredibly brilliant. She's an incredibly brilliant person. She did a great job, I thought, during the Bush administration.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. I like this. All right, Angela.
Well, yes. You take care. And my husband, Billy, from North Carolina, who always teases about the barbecue, he's sitting right here and says, hey.
Well, tell him I said hello as well. And look, I love all kinds of barbecue. I'm very ecumenical when it comes to the pig. It is, you know, it is what it is. All right, Angela, God bless you. Thank you. I think I do remember her, actually. I think I do remember that. So, look, here's the deal about Condoleezza Rice. She's a little liberal on some things. But you know what? I can live with that. I could live with that. We need a rock-solid lineup going into the fall. And we just have to imagine that the Democrats are going to come loaded for bear. It may be Crazy Joe. It may not be Crazy Joe. But they're going to be fired up and ready to rock and roll, and we've got to be unified as conservatives and as Republicans. Got to. Let's go to Mike, WLOB, the Big Lobster in Maine. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
How are you, Ted?
I'm good, thank you.
I heard the cuts you played from Bernstein, and I got to tell you, you know, I don't know if people realize it was so much going on, but the U.S. European Command has issued a level Charlie threat to all our military bases in Europe and also our military bases in the Middle East and Africa. This is the second highest level threat, just below Con Delta, which is the highest. And I'll tell you, it's because of the elections coming up in France. And, of course, the Olympics are going to be over there at the same time. Now, I got to tell you, does anyone believe out there that the commander-in-chief is ready for a 2 a.m. phone call for a rapid response in the event of an attack on one of our bases?
No, really? not at all, Mike.
Does anyone believe that?
No, not at all.
Exactly.
And just think about this. Let's just, for the sake of the argument here, let's say that we have a terrorist attack on American soil, and you have a situation where all of these terrorists, these military-aged young men who've come across our border, let's just say they launch attacks in cities all over the country simultaneously. You think Joe Biden's going to be able to get up in front of the country not only and reassure the nation that we're fighting back, but could you imagine him in a press conference taking questions about the immediacy of the threat and how they were going to respond to the terrorist attack? I don't think he could do it.
Well, you know, then you have to ask yourself, so who in the hell is going to respond
That's
on his
it.
Behalf? You
who's,
know what I mean?
Who's running the
who's
country
running the
right
show?
Now? Who's running the show?
Yeah. Exactly. So I just wanted to run that by so everybody knows our troops are sitting over there. Evidently, they caught some chatter. And when they caught chatter, they threw it up to a Charlie. And that's the second highest level threat.
It means a threat is imminent. A threat is imminent. And I'm telling you, Mike, that came out Sunday night, and it certainly caught my attention because we are in a very precarious place as a country right now, and our enemies know it. They have literally caught us flat-footed here, and they know there's not much that we can do about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, after that debate the other night, you don't think they all watched that? And well, saw that display.
Well, think about this, Mike. And you have to step back and say, okay, they've been trying to figure this out for the past 2 years, and they haven't been able to convince Biden to step aside. But let's just say that he does end up going. Let's just say they invoke the 25th, and he's out of there. Well, we got Kamala Harris, and I don't think that Kamala would be able to lead the country. I just don't think she can do it.
I'm not very confident there either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I'll tell you. I don't know. Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be a long. How many more months we got?
We've got a long time, my friend, and a lot can go south.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot right. can go south.
Take care,
all right, Mike. Thank you. Appreciate it. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, this morning started out the day, even though it's in the summertime, I love a good cup of coffee. That's how I start my day, and I have really enjoyed the incredible coffee selection at First Cup Coffee Company. That's firstcup.com, firstcup.com. They are a family-owned, Christian, patriotic coffee company, and they are doing some incredible work and brewing and roasting some incredible coffee beans and all of their flavors. They have 11 different varieties of coffee, and they're all named after some sort of a patriotic moment in American history. For example, the Rushmore is a monument of first. The Frankfurt blend represents the first bridge in America. And, of course, the Lexington, named after the Battle at Lexington. So anyway, go and check out their incredible website, firstcup.com. You can use the code Todd, and you're going to save an additional 10% on your order. And if you really love coffee like me, you're going to get a subscription. You're going to save even more money. I'm going to give you an additional 10% for the entire life of your subscription. But again, you got to go to firstcup.com, use my code Todd, and I'm going to give you an additional 10% off on your order at firstcup.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now, 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right. I have to tell you something, folks. I don't know what happens when I sleep at night, but I'm apparently a violent sleeper. Dylan, I'm not sure if this runs in the family, but you should be aware before you get, you know, you're getting married here very soon.
It's true.
And you need to make sure that this future missus understands that you could be, you know, a violent sleeper too. It could be genetic.
I think the worst thing about me so far that I've heard is that I snore.
Oh, really?
So hope that's the worst that it gets. Todd, you may be a sleepwalker.
Well, I will say this years ago, years ago, I was on medicine. You know, after my heart surgery, they put you on these medicines, and it's a pretty painful thing when they crank your chest open and put you back together.
I can imagine.
So they give you some high-profile drugs, legal narcotics. Praise God for legal narcotics. So anyway, one of them, the side effect was sleepwalking. And so I'll never forget this. One morning, I woke up, and there was a plate of freshly made cookies. Like, you know, the Toll House cookies where you freeze them and, you know, you can bake them. There was a freshly made thing of Toll House cookies on my kitchen counter. And apparently I had gotten up in the middle of the night and I had made, as I was sleepwalking, and I made chocolate chip cookies in my sleep.
Well, that's a good thing.
It was, well, I will say this, the cookies were delicious, but I was somewhat horrified, so immediately flushed all the drugs. That's bad. And, you know, my whole nightmare, this, and I know this is crazy, but I don't do well with any medicine. And some of these medicines I just have to take. And I just don't do well with any of them. And I'm afraid one day, you know, there's going to be you're going to get a call, or your mom's going to get a call and say, we found Todd wandering down the street in his pajama pants. This is why I do wear pajamas. Got to be careful. So anyway, last night, I'm not sure what happened. But I woke up midway through the night, and I guess I tried to wrench my arm out of its socket because it's just extremely painful. So I went and popped some extra strength Tylenol before the show. So if I get a little loopy, it's the Tylenol. But I'm wondering, does anybody else I'm not a peaceful sleeper. One morning I woke up and I had scratches all over my face. I don't even have a cat. I'm like, what the heck? This is ridiculous. It'll be a good chapter in the book. Anyway, I've got to figure out a way to sleep more peacefully. Any of you have suggestions, let me know. By the way, I'm curious. President Trump's team sent out a little statement about July 4th. Have you noticed, as you're getting ready for your big celebration, have the prices gone up? According to President Biden, or President Trump, under Joe Biden, the 4th of July, this year's 4th of July, will cost nearly 30% more than it did 5 years ago. A cookout for just 10 people will cost 5% more than last year. Fireworks, get this, the cost of fireworks up 42% since 2021. Is this true? So here are the price increases since January of 2021, and I'm curious, if this is you, have you seen these prices? Unleaded gasoline up 55.3%. Yes, absolutely. If you're getting a hotel, up 53%. Airfare up 39%. Now here's what's fascinating. Salad dressing up 31%. Ketchup and mustard, 27%. Pickles and relish, I'm good without that. Steaks up 24.8%. Ground beef up 23.3%. And if you're going to drink a Coca-Cola, up 22.5%. Oh, by the way, can I just say, I tried. Someone sent me a very clever gift, an RC Cola and some moon pies. It was very clever. I actually tried the RC Cola. It was like a four-pack of RC Cola. I love RC Cola. It's a really good Coke. Well, Pepsi's just a little bit weird for me, right? It's too sweet and not carbonated enough. Coca-Cola's a little over-carbonated, but the RC Cola, it was just spot on. So I've switched to Coca-Cola brands. I'm an RC Cola guy. The moon pies, yeah, pretty good. I'm not a big moon pie guy. I'm a Goo Goo Cluster guy, if you're familiar. So anyway, I'm curious, have you guys seen cost going up under Joe Biden for your 4th of July celebration? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. I'm very anxious to hear about that. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be taking your calls. Also, I am looking, we're getting ready to head back out in the fall. I am looking for the best burger joints in America. So if you've got some suggestions, we want to hear those as well. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Stern Show.
Hi, I'm Lex Howard, CEO of Balance of Nature. When I think of Independence Day, I think of flags lining the street of my neighborhood. I think of good quality time spent with my family and the amazing spirit of our founding fathers. Celebrating America is important. True patriotism involves an ongoing commitment to founding values. Patriotic Americans unite to protect our founding values of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. True patriotism involves celebrating the rights and freedoms we enjoy as Americans. We have the freedom to pursue the American dream. We have freedom of speech. We're able to call for change and stand as forces that will help shape our nation for future generations. To be a patriot is not an event. It is a constant battle and pursuit. Happy Independence Day from Balance of Nature, and God bless America and her people.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. We are looking for the best burger joints in America. It's our way of celebrating Independence Day. So, very curious to hear from you. Where can you find the best burger and what makes it the best burger in America? Give us a call this hour of the program, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, coming up a little bit later this hour, or rather next hour, we are going to dip into the first press conference post-debate performance. This is going to be wild. KJP facing the press, 2:30 Eastern. So we'll dip into some of that a little bit later on as well. There is a crazy story out, and the White House is enraged over this. Politico is reporting that White House staffers are scared poopless of Joe Biden. And they're terrified of displeasing him in the daily briefings. This coming from Politico. The White House is now pushing back hard, and they're saying it's simply not true. But there's a lot of drama, and folks, the dam has been breached. I want to bring into the conversation one of the best columnists in America. Her name is Liz Peek, and you see her stuff all the time on Fox News. Liz, good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to join you.
So, Liz, before we get to your column, which is fascinating, I got to get your take on the news that seems to be coming out by the hour of people talking about how horrible it is inside the White House right now.
Well, Todd, I think we've heard this before, right? Axios a few months ago came out with a story saying the same thing, that Biden screams at people, he calls them names. And that particularly young people who are particularly, fragile, maybe, are really scared to talk to him. So I am not surprised. I think what you alluded to before, though, is the most interesting thing going on. I have given the Biden White House a lot of credit for not having leaks, for not having disgruntled employees come out and blab to the press about who's really in charge, because you and I and millions of others have wondered who's running the show. We know it isn't Joe Biden. So who really is behind all the decisions who are being made? Who's writing up the note cards for Joe Biden, et cetera? And it's amazing to me, in 3.5 years, we've really not heard the answer to that question. But now, I think, as you said, the dam has been breached, and you're getting White House aides, people who are in the know, talking to the media and saying, well, guess what? You know, European leaders have actually been concerned about Joe Biden's mental condition. He's been deteriorating before our eyes. All of a sudden now this is fair game. And honestly, it's about time.
Yeah, one of the things I was watching last night, CNN, Carl Bernstein's comments about this fundraiser at the Four Seasons a while back, where they said that Biden literally became rigid, and so much so a chair had to be brought in so he could finish his remarks. And Liz, it's just stunning to me that everybody has seen this. And it's not like the mainstream media just woke up Thursday midway through the debate and realized, holy cow. Everybody's been involved in this cover-up.
Yeah, but Todd, I mean, to me, the most astonishing thing on debate night was the response of the CNN panel gathered to talk about the debate. They were shocked. And I think it was quite genuine. When Van Jones had tears in his eyes, what did he expect? I mean, we have seen the videos called cheap fakes by the White House, which, by the way, are not faked. They were just videos of Joe Biden at his worst, probably, to be sure. But when he's standing next to Macron, Emmanuel Macron, the head of France, and he tries to sit repeatedly on a chair that doesn't exist, and his wife has to cover her mouth and say, Joe, stand up, or whatever she said, you know, did everybody think that was normal? It's not normal. And he has had these freeze moments, which, you know, other Mitch McConnell's had freeze moments too. It's not good. But all of this, you know, we have to kind of take a step back occasionally and remember, this guy is the president of the United States, the most taxing job in the world. And he is responsible, not just from 10 to 4, when apparently he's mentally alert, but 24 hours a day. He is supposed to be protecting our nation, and he is not capable of doing that. So, you know, the conversation has gone in some circles from not can he run again, which is, to my mind, a completely ludicrous idea, but should he be in office for the next 6 months?
Mm. And that leads to your column that you wrote, the headline, if Joe Biden steps aside, who takes his place? I know Kamala wants it to be Kamala, but I think she may be the only one.
Yes, but, you know, I always go back to when LBJ stepped aside. If you remember 68, I don't really remember this, but if you read about it, you know, remember Gene McCarthy, there were other people who were very much more popular as replacements for LBJ, but the person they chose finally in those smoke-filled rooms was Hubert Humphrey, because it was the least disruptive. And yes, he lost. But I think in this case, you know, Politico did a piece some months ago about how Kamala Harris, behind the scenes, has really worked to, for one thing, win over the superdelegates who might be called upon to make this decision. She's been entertaining influential donors in her townhouse, having sort of salons. I don't know if you follow her schedule. I do. I get her minute-to-minute incredibly tiresome updates. But she is out there at fundraisers 3 or 4 times a day sometimes. She's working it, and she wants it.
Yeah, the question is, you know, how would that happen? The way it looks, and according to there was other reporting today saying that the governors, the Democrat governors, talking to Jake Tapper, they were wanting a meeting. And now just moments ago, the White House says they're going to make that meeting happen. But the governors fear that if anybody goes public, that it's just going to cause Biden to dig in deeper. Who's really calling the shots here? Because I just don't think Biden has the mental capacity to even know that he's running. Is this something that is being pushed by Joe Biden? I don't mean that flippantly. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. Look, I think he comes, you know, look, we've all seen people in decline. I'm sure he has very lucid capable moments and some moments where he's not. I think we all know that Jill Biden, his wife, is taking a very big hand. She's the one now often speaking before he speaks at fundraisers and other gatherings. And she apparently is the one who told Barack Obama, forget it, under no uncertain terms, Joe is running. So someone is going to have to convince her. I mean, my take on it, which I hope is a generous one, is that she really is scared for Hunter, that she knows there's a good chance Hunter goes to prison, you know, if Joe Biden isn't in the White House to pardon him. That, frankly, if I were a mom and a son in that situation, I probably would be doing exactly what she's doing. I hope, and I would love to think, it's not because she loves to appear on the cover of Vogue in a $5,000 dress. I don't know. Maybe it is part of that, too. But she is very influential. And, you know, the thinking is Joe has to step aside. There is, since he has the delegates needed to be nominated, nothing can happen except him stepping aside.
I thought it was interesting in that Vogue piece, she was described as an Eleanor Roosevelt. I would have gone with Edith Wilson, but
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's
right. You know, don't tell anyone Joe's incapacitated. I've got this under control. It is like that, right? I mean, I think we're going to hear a lot about Edith Wilson because those references are pretty salient right now. And I think we're all wondering how much she is directing Joe's schedule. She's directing Joe's aides, how they handle him. But, you know, I think it's also the cabal of Obama people in the White House who are making a lot of the important decisions.
There's great intrigue, and I have to imagine there are going to be some amazing books written about. I mean, this is really an historic moment, I think, in modern politics.
It is, and I have to say it's a very fun place to be a commentator, as you are and I am. I also hope it all turns out okay for our country, because I'm really, you know, the left is so alarmed and panicked about Donald Trump. You know, does anyone remember we actually had 4 great years under Donald Trump before COVID hit? And even then, we actually did okay. No one apparently remembers that. All this hysteria is so offensive and stupid. But I have to say, I feel slightly hysterical about another 4 years of Joe Biden. By the way, it won't be 4 years of Joe Biden. At max, I'm guessing 6 months, if he wins.
It's a great point. And then last night, of course, Liz, this bizarre statement, the president came out, and it was just odd, the timing. I mean, he should have done it earlier in the day, I suppose. But the spray on tan was thick and orange. And he got out
they
there.
They can't get it right.
No, they can't get it. No, they threw the makeup artist under the bus for the Thursday night. It's just hilarious. You just can't make this up.
No, but, you know, some of the criticism was just, I mean, he looked awful at the debate. And, you know, I'm on TV every day. It's not that hard to get people to look decent. So, I mean, clearly they decided he was too pallid. So the next day he comes out looking like a, you know, I don't know, like an orange. I mean, it's kind of crazy. You know, I think that they felt they had to have him show up quickly in public, and a 5-minute teleprompter speech was probably their best bet. I think it was stupid in the sense that it really gave talking points to the right in terms of Joe Biden having been so, you know, when Trump was convicted, well, yeah, we have to have faith in our justice system. Whoops, I guess we lost faith in our justice system right away. So he looks kind of stupid on this, but and so do Democrats who are, you know, reading much more into this decision than they should. But look, they're very angry that Trump isn't going to go to jail probably. And, you know, they had this all teed up that there were all these charges, there were all these trials that were going to take place. Worst case, Joe Biden is failing, but Donald Trump's in jail. Well, if that doesn't happen, they don't seem to have a plan B.
That's it. They don't. And of course, the New York District Attorney coming out and agreeing to delay the sentencing until later on in July. So it's not going to happen July 11th. And I think they all see the writing on the wall here. Liz, a lot of stuff going on. We'll get you back on very soon. And a great column you wrote. And I hope you have a
Thank
great
you.
Fourth.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Liz Peek, everybody. She writes for Fox News and The Hill. And you can follow Liz on X at Liz Peek. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Greg Jarrett. We're going to get a rundown of what exactly the Supreme Court ruled on yesterday. There's a lot of fake news surrounding it, and Greg's going to help set the record straight. Also, Congressman Mike Collins is going to drop by. Don't tell anybody, but it's his birthday. We'll have to celebrate that. And also, Alicia Dean, she is the marketing director for Elvis Presley Enterprises, and Graceland is going to have an all-American weekend, free fireworks, concerts. It's going to be so much fun here in Memphis. Graceland.com if you'd like more information, but she'll be joining us a little bit later. All right, we're going to get to the phones here at 901-260-5926. We are looking also, on top of everything else, we're looking for the best burgers in America. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones. Georgia, Rocco, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, what's going on?
What?
Hey,
yeah.
I'm watching Biden on he's speaking at the FEMA headquarters. And, you know, he just broke some news. It's hot in the summertime.
Well, there you go. That's true.
Unbelievable. I didn't know that until Biden just told me, having born and raised in the South, it's hot in the summertime. It gets hot every year. But history has a way of repeating itself. Did you realize that when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was at the end of his third term, that Eleanor actually tried to get him to run for a fourth term? And he was basically on his deathbed. She wanted the power that bad. And I think the same thing is going on here with Jill. She needs him to stay in office long enough for her to forge his signature on Hunter's pardon in August or September when the trial starts.
Well, you just heard, Rocket, we just had Liz Peek on, and she pointed out that that could be the issue here is that they are really concerned about Hunter's future and keeping him out of prison. And if that's the case, you know, Biden needs to go ahead and issue that pardon right away.
Right, because the second trial is going to be much worse than the first one.
Sure.
Because they're going to dig deeper into that laptop and shows where all this money's coming from and all the shell companies that it went to. And it's going to be bad. And so, you know, I just think that we're watching history repeat itself here.
Well, we are, and not just Eleanor Roosevelt, but when you go back to Woodrow Wilson, who suffered an incapacitating stroke, and his wife Edith was literally running the country. She had become the de facto president, and in her memoir, she actually defended her behavior. Again, we're talking about an unelected person who was running the country. And I suspect the same thing is happening right now. And look, there's a reason why they didn't want Congress to get a hold of those Robert Hur audio tapes. Because imagine how bad Biden sounds on those tapes. There's a reason why that Merrick Garland would be willing to go to prison to do that instead of giving up those tapes?
Todd, when I was watching the debate about the 12-minute mark, I actually started feeling sorry for him. When Trump looked over at him and thinking he's going to have to lean over there and grab him from falling down when he froze up and started stuttering, I just think Trump knew at that moment, I got this. He is really in a bad shape.
He is. He really is. And look, I felt the same way you did. And I think that's Christian compassion, because Joe Biden is an evil man. This man has done evil his entire career. He is a bad person. Horrible things happened in that household. If you look at how the kids turned out, very bad things happened in that household. That's the only explanation. But still, you feel bad. I mean, there's nothing this guy can do. We're watching him age before our very eyes. And we played some audio yesterday, you know, Trump or Biden speaking in 2019 and now in 2024. And it's like, you know, they're not the same. They're not the same people. Rocco, got to run. We are coming up on a break, but thank you so much for listening. By the way, folks, you need to head over to balanceofnature.com right now. Balanceofnature.com. They've got a great, great deal going on. I'm going to give you 50% off your first order at balanceofnature.com. 50% off. That's a huge deal. You got to use my discount code, Todd. You're going to get 50% off your first order, balanceofnature.com. You can also call 1-800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com. All right, stick around. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. We're working on efforting some audio from President Biden, and he's over at FEMA as they're giving an update on this hurricane. And the poor guy, just folks, he looked lost. He had to be guided to the podium. And once again, he is reading the instructions on the teleprompter like he did last night. You just can't make this stuff up. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend Greg Jarrett, one of the top legal minds in the country, author of Trial of the Century. Greg, hope you're doing good.
Yeah, I'm fine, Todd. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm curious. There's been so much false information coming out about the Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity. So right out of the gate here, set the record straight. Does this mean the president can dispatch SEAL Team 6 to take out his political enemies?
No, of course not. And, you know, the hyperbolic, hysterical reaction from the likes of Sotomayor in particular, but Kagan and Jackson, really fail to realize that this seminal ruling protects Joe Biden and future Democrat presidents from the same kind of lawfare that Biden Democrats deployed against Donald Trump. And hopefully it forecloses this temptation by Republicans like Lindsey Graham to exact retribution by exploiting and manipulating statutes to punish a political opponent. There's no room for that in the law in America. So, you know, this is, if you actually take the time to read this decision, it's well-reasoned, it's a middle ground, it is not a partisan ruling. You know, as the liberal politicians and the media are decrying, as I say, it's a middle ground rejecting both sides that urged an absolutist position, either no immunity at all or complete immunity for everything. Neither of those made sense. This ruling makes perfect sense.
No, it does. And it's really shocking to read Sotomayor's dissent. And I'm not sure what the clinical definition here is. She's not the brightest bulb, Greg Jarrett.
Well, I don't know about her intellect, but she is prone to emotional outbursts. This is not the first time. I think, quite honestly, you know, she suffers from TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. She perceives the majority ruling as favorable to Trump, and therefore she's virulently against it as this knee-jerk reaction without fully appreciating the point I just made, that this protects all presidents, including Joe Biden. It would have protected Barack Obama when he ordered drone strikes on American citizens that killed them. He could have been charged with murder. I'm not saying I agree with his decision to do that. What I am saying is that he had to make a tough decision. That's what we elect, chief executives to do. And they, in order to function effectively, they have to be insulated. And by the way, this is not new. As I pointed out months ago, for 42 years, presidents have had immunity from civil liability, and I predicted back then that the high court would simply extend that to criminal culpability. That's exactly what they did, literally, word for word, citing the famous Nixon-Fitzgerald case in 1982.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is our good friend Greg Jarrett from Fox News Channel, author of the powerful book, Trial of the Century. And folks, you got to read that book. Greg, earlier today, Alvin Bragg agreed to postpone the criminal sentencing in President Trump's trial. That came at Trump's request. What do you make of that? What's going on there?
Well, he did it for his own self-interest, because the immunity decision just came down yesterday. And Bragg now anticipates, because Trump's lawyers have said so, a motion to set aside the verdict. Bragg has to marshal together his team of lawyers to try to counter that, and he needs more time for that. So, he's not offering something generous to Donald Trump and his lawyers. He's acting in his own self-interest. Now, the real question is, would Mershon ever consider that seriously? No, he wouldn't. I mean, this is a neutral, impartial judge would, but that's not Juan Mershon. He doesn't give a whit about fairness or due process. We certainly saw that during the course of the trial, in which, he committed truly shocking constitutional violations of the 6th and 14th Amendment. The case was littered with reversible errors by Mershon. He helped engineer a wrongful conviction based on invented crimes. So there's no way in the world that Mershon will actually grant a motion to dismiss the verdict.
It's all fascinating, and we'll see how all this plays out. But you think at the end of the day, Trump, this thing gets reversed, even if it's on appeal?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The verdict absolutely will be reversed eventually, Todd, but not by this judge or by any court, a higher court in New York. In the end, invariably, relief can only be found in the federal courts, where the rule of law and due process are actually respected, where you have judges who both understand and respect the Constitution and its protections. So I think the letter sent requesting a delay, which has now not been opposed by Bragg, that was to preserve Trump's right on appeal to argue that immunity should have been excluded for critical testimony, such as his interaction with White House aides Hope Hicks, Madeleine Westerhout, and other evidence where he was president at the time that acts were taken, and those arguably are official acts.
Mm, fascinating. All right, Greg, appreciate the great insight. Got to leave it there, and always good hearing from you, friend.
Okay, Todd, take care, man.
All right, Greg Jarrett, everybody, from Fox News Channel, author of Trial of the Century. All right, just a few moments ago, President Biden stopped by FEMA headquarters. And by the way, this is all part of the plan. They're going to get him out as much as possible to prove to all of you that he still has a functioning brain. Now, the president was supposed to be talking about this hurricane. He goes off on the weather and the fact that it's hot during the summertime. You're also going to hear him read off instructions from a teleprompter. And by the way, these are, they call them impromptu events. At all of these impromptu events, there is a teleprompter with his remarks written out for him. Let's take a listen.
More people die from extreme heat than floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes combined. Say that again. Combined. More people die from heat than those three other major issues.
Stop here. Oh, you can't make it up. Was Anchorman one of the best movies of all time? Whatever you pull that teleprompter, he's going to say. Wow. All right, there's your president of these United States, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, a lot of moving parts today, folks, and this is the way it's going to be as we head into whatever's going to happen with Biden, and we're going to bring you all of the information as it comes in. By the way, Jim Clyburn just said moments ago that he would be supporting Kamala Harris. So Clyburn says, I want to get this right here, I will support Vice President Kamala Harris if President Biden were to step aside. This is coming from James Clyburn, the Democrat out of South Carolina. He was also the co-chair of the campaign. He was on MSDNC. Also, Joe Biden just said that if any of you out there are not full-blown five-alarm fire climate alarmist, so if you don't believe in climate change, you're really dumb. You're really dumb. This coming in, there are reports that Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, that's Gabby Gifford's husband, he's the astronaut guy, he's been approached by the DNC to step up for president. Mark Kelly served as a combat pilot in the Navy, a NASA astronaut. So those are the latest developments. Also, Nancy Pelosi, just moments ago, she is starting to turn on Joe. Take a listen to what Nancy just said.
So we have all these things that he was masterful in helping to orchestrate, to write, and to pass. So he has a vision. He has knowledge. He has judgment. He has a strategic thinking and the rest. He has a bad night. Now, again, I think it's a legitimate question to say, is this an episode or is this a condition?
You know what, Nancy? That's a great question. Is it an episode or is this a condition? We need a full medical workup on President Joe Biden. That's what we need. Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Sonny in Florida, WOCA, our great affiliate there. Hi, Sonny. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. What's on my mind is, how is it the Democrats were able to impeach Trump twice in his first term, and the Republicans can't even impeach this guy once? A known criminal. Him and his family and the corruption go all the way back to state government. I mean, what is wrong with the Republicans that they can't impeach this guy? Like I said, they impeached Trump twice. Seems to me we have a one-party system here. The Democrat Party and the wannabe Democrats.
Look, Sonny, it's a great question you raise, and this has been something I've been harping on for a long time now, is that they do not have the man parts necessary to do what needs to be done. And all you need out there is somebody with a pair of big ones, Sonny, that's willing to stand up and say, we're going to do the right thing here. The right thing here is to impeach this man. Sonny, for me, the issue is the border. And I think we have him dead to rights on dereliction of duty. He's violated his constitutional oath. He has allowed enemies of this country to breach our borders. And he has failed to uphold his oath of office. And to your point, to this day, Joe Biden has not been impeached.
Well, you just gave us three things that are teachable offenses. Have a good day.
Sonny, thank you, and thank you for listening, and you too have a good day, sir. I mean, it's really tragic, but that's the reality of it. I mean, it really is. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. This is from CNN, cut number one.
A pattern, discernible pattern of Democratic officials seemingly trying to convince you, the public, to not believe what you saw and what you heard with your eyes and with your ears on Thursday night. Democratic officials have tried to spin this in many ways. They said President Biden just had a cold. They said it was just one off night, akin to when President Obama in 2012 was rusty and seemed a little huffy. But behind the scenes, make no mistake, most Democratic officials witnessed the same shocking spectacle that you did. The difficulty that the presumptive Democratic nominee, the current president of the United States, had just articulating his basic thoughts during the 90 minutes of the debate. With all due respect, it is not honest to say that this is just one night. There have been moments like this that people have seen in front of the cameras and other moments. But with
all right, so there you go. That's a smidge of the Jake Tapper monologue from last night. You know, I want to say something here. And when on the moments that I'm wrong, and that happens about, well, we've been every other year now when I've been wrong about something. I got to tell you, Dana Bash, and Jake Tapper, they actually did a pretty decent job moderating that debate on Thursday night. You got to give them credit for that. I wish they would have gone out and called out the lies coming from Joe Biden. They didn't do that, but by and large, they let Joe Biden hang himself. They did. And even Trump was pretty happy with the way that he was treated by the CNN anchors. So I'll give him that one. But it's interesting to watch, you know, this revisionist history take place, because we've seen this all along. And I think, again, it shows you, you know, there are a lot of people out there. And here's the thing. Here's what I want you to do. We'll do a test. All right. This is the test. So go out and ask somebody, hey, did you see Joe Biden at the debate? And if they say yes, and oh my God, what's wrong with this guy? That person, I guarantee you, does not listen to talk radio, and they don't watch Newsmax. I'm just telling you, there are a lot of people that believe what they're being told by the mainstream media. And the mainstream media, for the past three and a half years, they've been telling the American people that Joe Biden is fit as a fiddle. That's what they've been telling them. And the reality is, he never was. He never was. And we've been very open and honest about this on the program. And it's a terrible thing, old age, but it happens to everybody. What are you going to do? But for people who are genuinely shocked like that, they're just not listening to talk radio. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there, and this is how we're growing our radio show. You go out there and you invite somebody to listen. As a matter of fact, there was a fella that came to our big book event in Waterloo, Iowa over the weekend, KXCL, our great affiliate. And this guy brought along two of his buddies. They'd never heard of me. They've never listened to the show. But now they're new fans of the program. And why is that? Because we speak truth. We say the things that others are afraid to say or will not say. And whether you agree or disagree, you know, when I come onto this microphone, come onto this program, and the microphone light comes on, that I'm going to share with you my opinion. You may not like it, but at least you know that's where I stand. So look, that's what I want you to do, is to go out there and start inviting people to listen to this program. Invite them to call into the show. You know, one of the things that we do on Newsmax, and this is interesting, when I first started working at Newsmax, you know, I said, wait a second, why is it all Republicans here? Let's get some other voices on, because I want to have those debates. And the reason I want to be able to debate a Democrat on the air on Newsmax is because once the Democrat is exposed and once their ideas are exposed, people realize, wait a second, the Republican way, the conservative way, really is the better way. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is when you allow debate to happen. And we do that every day on my Newsmax television program, which, by the way, you can watch 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2, Facebook and YouTube Live, by the way. All right, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Oh, geez, this is terrible. So, look, President Biden, they shoved him out there. Again, anytime between 10 and 4, that's supposed to be the working hours there, where the brain is fully functioning. They hauled Biden over to FEMA HQ, where he mumbled in front of the cameras and said, if you don't believe in climate change, you're stupid, and then mumbled some more. Everything is on teleprompter, by the way. And then Biden actually read the instructions on the teleprompter that said, say it again. Let's take a listen.
More people die from extreme heat than floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes combined. Say that again. Combined, more people die from heat than those three other major issues.
No, Mr. President, you're just supposed to say it again. You don't say it again, sir. Also, anybody know what the president is saying here?
So folks know these resources are available to them and anyone who needs them. I was telling the group who briefed me earlier. My brother has an expression. You got to know how to know.
I don't know. So anyway, after all that, the president was being ushered out, and he stops and he's looking around, and they actually, and he's like, go this way, and they're like giving him a little push, right this way, Mr. President. Anyway, some breaking news. ABC is now reporting that Joe Biden will sit down with George Snuffleupagus, on Good Morning America on Friday. So tomorrow on the campaign trail, Biden and Stephanopoulos, who, by the way, used to be Bill Clinton's guy. So this is going to be a very friendly interview. We'll keep you updated on that development. That just crossing the wires moments ago. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to a good man, Congressman Mike Collins of Georgia's 10th Congressional District. And Congressman, first of all, happy birthday to you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, Todd. Thank you. One of your deplorable, stupid people now.
Yeah, well, join the club. Gun-toting, Bible-clinging son of a Baptist here right now. So,
my business card's not going to hold all this stuff.
Fair enough. So, Congressman, I'm curious, what do you make of these developments over the past couple of days? We now have a congressman from Texas now coming out and saying that Biden needs to step aside. What are you hearing up on Capitol Hill?
Well, obviously, I think everybody on Capitol Hill is saying the same thing that the rest of America is saying, Todd. It's obvious that this guy, he's home, but the lights aren't on. And the more he goes out there and speaks now, with people having seen the debate, the more they're just going to keep piling on. There's no way he's going to recover from this. There's no way to get out of it, spray tan and all. There's really not much options. Now, me personally, leave him in there. He's helping us every day he comes up. Between 10 and 4, keep the airways open. And let's see if we can't get him on TV or somewhere.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a big Tennessee Volunteer fan, and I think that was like our version of Tennessee Orange that he had on his face last night. That was insane.
Yeah, I think the only thing better if they'd have trotted him out there in a Speedo.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, Congressman, we're going to hang up now. You crossed the line, Congressman. Nobody wants to visualize that.
No, man. They're pulling out all the stops. So.
What I find fascinating is this is all Democrat-on-Democrat violence we're watching here, Congressman. That is very rare, and especially with the media jumping on board as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, a lot of these Democrats now that are sitting in these swing districts, you know, they're feeling the heat. We already have been putting the heat on them. We've got great candidates out there that are running against a number of Democrats that are sitting in Congress right now. And if you don't think we're not going to keep exposing the problem from the top down and the fact that they're going to carry the water for Biden, if he were, for God forbid, to go back in for another 4 years, he wouldn't make it 4 years, but they're going to be carrying that water no matter what it is. And you really don't know what it is because Biden is not running the show.
No, he's not. And I'm wondering, who do you think is running that show?
If I had to guess, I'd say Barack Obama. Mm. I can almost feel it. You know, I've told people so many times that one of the main reasons that I got into politics after 30 years of being in the private sector, never been elected to anything at all, was the fact that when Barack Obama was in the White House for 8 years, it was destroying this country. It was killing small businesses out there to the point. And when Donald Trump came along and turned this thing around, and Lord help, man, it felt so good. It was unfreaking believable. And then Biden got in there. It was almost like deja vu, man. This is crazy. This is serious stuff, what we're seeing happening to the business, to the inflation, to every middle class person in this country. That's one of the reasons I got involved in this thing. And I swear, I just feel like that at the end of the day, you're going to peel back that onion. You're going to see Barack Obama sitting there.
We have Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Congressman, when you look at Nancy Pelosi just a little while ago on MSDNC, she came out and said, you know, maybe we need to find out if this is a momentary glitch or if this is, you know, if there's something else going on. You're starting to see a lot of people turning on Biden. Jim Clyburn a few moments ago, telling MSDNC that he would be willing to support Kamala Harris if she ends up being the nominee. Who do you think we have a better shot at beating in the fall?
Well, I think that we don't have to beat anybody. We just have to make sure that we get our people to the polls to vote. Mm. We've got an incredible candidate. We've got the right man for the job at the right time in history. And he will win this race as long as our people go to the polls and vote. I don't care if they turn this into election 6 month season now. As soon as those polls open, we need to start flooding the doors. We need to make sure that everybody goes to vote. We do that and we build on our majority in the House. We flip that Senate. Todd, we're going to make history in the 119th Congress. It's going to be amazing that we are going to be able to change the trajectory of this country, not only get it back on track and take our country back, but put this thing on a path that the Democrats have just flat out destroyed over a number of decades and get America back to what it was, and that was being first and being great.
Mm. No, I'm with you, Congressman. I just feel like we are in a very, very good spot. And honestly, you don't want to get overconfident, but you're right. We've just got to get out the vote, and we've got to get out the vote in a big way. And this could be an historic landslide victory for the Republicans. I mean, we could end up sweeping everything if we get the vote out there.
We could, and that's right. And I think that, you know, no matter who they tried out there, whether it's Gavin Newsom or Kamala Harris or whoever it is, there's nothing that they can do about the inflation. There's nothing they can do about people's pocketbooks. You know, I talk to these younger people with just starting families and trying to buy homes every day, and they can't afford a house.
Yeah.
They're barely making ends meet now to keep food on the table and to keep the rent paid. They're going to feel that every month between now and November. And the ones that were here during the Trump administration or were married or were in past their college career or those even older than that, they know what it felt like. I mean,
they know what it felt like to have Donald Trump in the White House and have those policies. The only problem that President Trump had back then was he didn't have a Congress that had his back. By God, we're going to change that this time around. We're going to put some, we're going to make this, instead of executive order, it's going to be law of the land. And you're going to see some permanent changes come about, and they're going to be fantastic changes.
I love to hear that. Well, Congressman, do you have big birthday plans for today?
No, I usually get sick on my birthday. I'm not a birthday person.
All right. Well,
I'm in my office. I've been working. I'd rather be working than anything on my birthday.
Well, since you're in your office here, are the Democrats, are they a little dejected around Capitol Hill? Can you notice the tension?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them got their lips poked out. If they get close to a window, they might stick to it. So we better be careful.
You don't want to do that. Yeah, that's not good. All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Again, a happy birthday to you. And most importantly, happy birthday, America. It's going to be a great Independence Day weekend.
That's it. I hope y'all have a great 4th of July. It's good talking to you tonight.
All right. Likewise, Congressman. There you go. Good man. He said Biden's home, but the light's not on. It's true. It really is true. And by the way, if you have another saying, I know we like to say that the cheese has done slipped off Biden's cracker. You got Congressman Collins there. He's home, but the lights aren't on. So if you've got a good saying like that, give us a call and we'll add it to our repertoire. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we're going to be taking your calls as well. By the way, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, we're going to have a blow by blow of what happens at the White House press briefing. That's coming up momentarily. And I don't know if you've heard, but you've got to watch Newsmax, too. It's our streaming channel. You can watch my show 5 o'clock Eastern. You can watch it on Roku, Samsung, Amazon. You can also watch it on YouTube Live and Facebook Live over at Newsmax, too. NewsmaxPlus.com, by the way, download that, and you'll be able to watch everything. Newsmax 1, Newsmax 2, NewsmaxPlus.com. You can check it out. You can start a free trial. It costs absolutely nothing to start. You can go download the app and start watching today. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go right to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's start with Steve in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. After watching the debate and the debacle that performance that Biden gave during the debate, what it seems like to me, they've changed their prep for him doing public speaking stuff. I think they have him watching old Ric Flair rants on YouTube.
The nature boy.
Yeah, and that could be his new nickname. You know, we've kind of wore out the Biden nickname. We could start calling him Nature Boy Joe Biden. And they could teach him when he gets tongue-tied and gets in a bind on stage, he could just start wooing.
And, woo! You know,
they like to woo each other anyway. They could sit up there and just woo each other instead of actually answering serious questions.
Well, look, I love this idea, Steve. There's a lot of truth to it. A lot of truth. By the way, Steve, what do you think? There have been some rumblings that your governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, might be on that short list. What do you think about that, VP?
I am very serious about this, Todd. I do not think... The job that needs to be done by this next administration is going to be so politically vicious and dirty. I don't think any woman should be brought into that. Now, you may call me a chauvinist, but I just don't. I think we're at a point where what needs to be done, we don't need to get a woman involved in that, just like we don't need women in combat in the military.
You think it's going to be that ugly?
I think it's going to be that. It needs to be that ugly. I don't know if it will be, but it needs to be.
Well, maybe we need Kristi Noem after all. She's got that gun.
Well, that's whoever goes up there. I'm no kidding aside. It's going to be like that if they do what needs to be done. Now, if they just mealy-mouth around and keep playing the same Republican game we've been playing for the last however many decades, maybe she would make a good one. But that's not what needs to happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, Steve, we're going to let you go. Great advice, and always a good day when you can throw in a Ric Flair reference. Well done, sir.
Woo!
Woo! All right. Thanks, Steve. Holy cow. Let's go to Anna in Georgia. WDUN, our great station. Hi, Anna. Woo!
Hi, Doug. Listen.
Yeah.
I was watching the old man the other day on that the debate, and you know what? I got to thinking. You know, they chose him because of their progressive agenda. Now, I have to believe there's not a whole lot of Democrats that want to deal with the progressive agenda. I mean, they're going to be subtle about it. But this guy, he'll do anything for a buck. And I really do think that Obama is running the show, and that only with Joe Biden can he do that. Only with Joe Biden can the progressives rise above what they think is mundane. And I really do think that this is a lot more rotten than we think it is.
Mm. Yeah, Anna, the stink and the stench is strong. And you're right. It may be decades before we get to the bottom of what really went down and how all of this happened. And you have to go all the way back to the Democrat primary, when there was so much bad blood. And keep in mind, Kamala Harris couldn't even win her own state, and she was the senator there. So there's a lot to unravel here, but this was all very well planned, very well organized, and the whole point of it was to give Barack Obama another term in office without actually being in the White House.
That's exactly right, and he's a progressive. He's a socialist. I mean, I was talking to a woman the other day, Holly, my friend. She said, "Ann, I'm black, okay?" She said, I could see his nastiness all the way, seeing him walk out there on that podium. She said, I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Oh, God, yeah." Mm. She said, "He's a community organizer." So what? Everybody was voting for him because he was, because he was black. And because he's very, very sharp as far as suave and debonair. But the thing is, he's got a lot of secrets, that boy does. And I don't mean that man does. I just really think that this is a culmination. I cannot believe Jill is allowing her husband to go through all this. There's got to be a lot of money involved in this, a lot of deals, a lot of nastiness, and I truly believe that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't believe there's any love in that relationship. I think it's all transactional, and Jill Biden is trying to milk this for all it's worth. And Anna, we've got to leave it there. We're coming up on a break. But I do want to ask you this question, ladies and gentlemen, and think long and hard about this, and especially you ladies. Ladies, would you allow your husband to go through something like this? Would you shove your husband, knowing that he was not mentally all there, would you shove your husband out there in front of the public like that? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We are broadcasting from our great Liberty University studios. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. It's like 105 degrees outside, so maybe this is an appropriate Elvis song. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, I think everybody in America has an Elvis story. And you remember where you were, what you were doing with some moment in Elvis's life and his career. And we're going to be talking about that, including an incredible celebration. You know, Elvis Presley loved this country. And, I mean, he had just a deep and abiding love for everything red, white, and blue. By the way, our number, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. There is a massive celebration coming up this weekend, the All-American Weekend at Graceland. And we're talking everything. And here to share with us about all the wonderful things happening is a good friend of this show and our flagship radio station, KWAM, Alicia Dean.
Hi.
You've got like a huge title, but you're
it's
like
a long title.
You're in charge of everything at Graceland.
I love it when people say that. I love it when people ask me, what do you do at Graceland? And I say, it really depends on the day. Like my job changes based on what day it is, what's going on, and what just kind of pops up at Graceland. That's the beauty of my job.
So a lot of people think Graceland is just the mansion, but it is so much more now.
You're right. It is. It's so much more. I mean, we opened an amazing entertainment complex back in, it was March of 2017, and it's huge. I'm talking we have massive exhibit spaces. It's the size of a full city block is what it is.
It's amazing.
And we also have a soundstage. It's a 20,000 square foot soundstage, which we hold events in. It's kind of a multi-purpose space, but also we hold concerts. I mean, all sorts of stuff, which has been really great to not only, you know, meet the expectations of Elvis fans, but to also bring in new fans to our facility. So,
and it's one of the top tourist destinations, not just in Tennessee, but really the country. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've always been kind of neck and neck with the White House in terms of private home tours and who has the most visitorship. Do they still do home tours of the White House?
I don't know if Biden allows it. I don't know. You don't want to see
him. They used to, right?
They used to back in the day.
So yeah, I mean, we would average, you know, around 600,000 visitors a year pre-COVID. And, you know, it's really amazing to see. I would say that the true testimony is not only Elvis Presley and, you know, Elvis being the probably biggest star on the planet, but also our location. Memphis is in a great location in the country. I mean, FedEx says the same thing, right? Based on our location, we sit on two major interstates on 55 and, you know, 40 running north, south, east, and west. And so 4th of July weekend has always been our busiest weekend in terms of visitorship. For that reason, you've got so many people who are traveling, driving across the country on their way to another destination. And people always go, we got to stop. We got to stop at Graceland.
Stop at Graceland, then grab some barbecue. Or you don't even have to do that. You can, because there are some great restaurants there on the property now.
Yeah, we've got several restaurants, and we even have a, I still want to call it a new hotel, even though it's not new. It opened in 2016, but the guest house at Graceland is our 450 room hotel that we have.
So let me say something. That hotel is spectacular.
Thank you.
And it is just, it's beautiful, so well done.
Thanks.
And it's almost like you're walking onto a resort.
It's exactly what it's like. I tell people all the time, you really don't feel like you're in Memphis. You feel like you're, you know, anywhere else, but because, you know, Memphis, you know, has this, like, you know, I guess city feel, and you don't feel like you're in the city. And so again, it's a beautifully done hotel, and we have lots of great restaurants, but we're able to throw a lot of events there, and that's the great thing about it.
And again, if you've been to Graceland, you've done the tour, and say you were there in like 05 or 06 or 07, mm-hmm. No, you got to come back.
Absolutely.
Because it's what everybody knows what it was like beforehand. And now it's just almost like, you don't want to say it's like a Universal Studios type experience, but it really is that level of quality.
Yeah, it kind of is, actually, because, you know, again, we have several exhibits that you can walk through. We're now able to display more as well. So I'm not sure if you knew, but our archives is massive, right? We have about 1.5 million items in our collection.
Wow.
And that is a true testimony to Elvis's father, Vernon Presley, who grew up in the Great Depression and saved everything. They did not throw anything away. So when I say that we have, you know, grocery lists, we have receipts for everything. We have everything. And so that's how we're able to have these amazing displays, and we can change out exhibits based on what's going on or what anniversary we're celebrating and all that.
And this is a good example of hoarding. So this is when hoarding is good.
Right.
By the way, folks, any of you, have you been to Graceland? Do you have a great Elvis memory? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we mentioned in the intro that Elvis loved this country, and a lot of people may not realize, but he actually served in the military.
He did, yeah. Actually, Elvis, he was drafted into the Army in 1957. It was his first Christmas at Graceland, right? So he buys Graceland in March of 57, gets drafted into the Army at the end of that year, and then goes off and serves in 1958. And, you know, me and you were talking, and I was saying, can you imagine that happening today to one of the biggest stars on the planet? And he chose. He said, I want to do this. Because if you think about it, Elvis was in the height of his career, and I'm sure they could have pulled some strings to get him out of it if they wanted to. I mean, Colonel Parker was incredible. His manager was great. But he chose to serve. And, you know, we actually have an exhibit in our Elvis Presley's Memphis complex that displays all of the items that we have in the collection that represent, you know, Elvis's lifetime in the Army. So it's really neat to be able to see and display, and especially talk about right now being the 4th of July.
Now, tell me about that. Did he have to get the haircut?
He absolutely did. That was a huge deal.
It was a huge deal.
A huge deal with the press. It was like, oh my gosh, Elvis Presley's cutting his hair, because that's what he was, you know. He was the sex symbol that had amazing hair and the swiveling hips. You know, he stirred up everybody, really. I should say all shook up, but that's, you know.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. That's I know.
Had to.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. And I understand that this coming weekend, it's really going to be sort of celebrating that. And you guys have so many wonderful things. And even I understand the mansion's going to be lit up in lights.
Yeah. So we only do this really, I mean, it's really rare that we put these different colored lights on the mansion, and we're putting the mansion in red, white, and blue, obviously to celebrate, you know, the 4th of July in America. And I guarantee you Elvis would have loved it. He would have absolutely said, yes, let's do this. But to celebrate the whole weekend, again, the 4th of July, not only being a busy holiday for us, but to also celebrate, you know, Elvis, his love for America. And July 5th, if you didn't know, is the 70th anniversary of the song That's All Right, which was the song that catapulted Elvis's career. That truly what we call is the big bang of rock and roll. So that's another huge thing that we're celebrating. It's,
I have to tell you, I've got the soundtrack of the movie, the new movie,
yeah,
on my iPhone.
Yeah.
And I hit the park, Shelby Farms, here locally. Uh-huh. And the version of that, as the rehearsal version at Vegas.
right.
It's just a great song.
It's a great song. It changed Elvis's life and changed all of our lives forever. I mean, that really was the thing and the song that took everybody to another level. And he recorded it here in Memphis at Sun Studio.
Is that right? It's that great Memphis sound.
It is.
That great Memphis sound. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Lee in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Lee. You're on the air with Alicia. What's up?
How you doing, Todd?
Good. Thanks for asking. Hey.
I was just going to let you know a little something about Elvis. My grandparents, you know, they were raised in Whitehaven, went to Whitehaven High School and all that. But they used to live right behind Graceland there in a little subdivision before Elvis had a fence or anything there. And it's my understanding there's even like a little pond there he'd hang around and whatnot. Now, you know, him being a polite type man, he'd always call him by the last name, Mr. and Mrs., you know. And as they walked by or whatnot, you know, they didn't know him on a sit-down basis, but, you know, been doing a passing or whatnot. And then there was a time when my mother, who was a toddler at the time, he actually even held her at one point. And they always raved about how nice he was and things like that. But that's my little story. I just thought I'd pass it on. So,
well, Lee, yeah. I appreciate you doing that, and thank you for calling in. Again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Alicia, to his point, he was really like that. You know, when he was back home in Memphis, he was just a regular guy.
Absolutely. He loved being in Memphis. Anytime that he was on the road or if he met anybody new, he always invited them to Graceland. He was so proud to show off his home. And yeah, it was the place where he felt the most comfortable and he had refuge there.
Maybe it was just me, but Lee kind of sounded a little bit like...
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, wow, he's got that good Southern boy accent.
I'm like, wait a second, what's going on here? What's going on? Let's talk about some of the things that are going to happen. And again, folks, if it doesn't matter where you are, Portland, Maine, Salem, Oregon, come on down to Memphis this weekend. You can stay over at the guest house. They're going to have a huge barbecue dinner. I guess they're even doing a screening. Is that right?
Yeah. So we actually have a really beautiful theater inside the guest house.
It's nice.
It is nice. We actually did a screening of the Elvis movie when it came out 2 years ago. But we're able to, you know, show movies there. But we also, again, speaking of the hotel, we have ticket packages that include room nights and tickets to all of our events that are still available. And so some of the events that we have coming up on July 5th would include, we have a Memphis Music Salute, which is going to be really great because it's truly going to celebrate Memphis music. So you're going to hear all sorts of hits that have been recorded in Memphis, everything that has inspiration from, you know, the blues on Beale Street to the rise of rock and roll through Sun Studios, and even stuff that was recorded at Stax, which is another amazing studio here in Memphis. And it's going to be a really fun night. And following that, we have our fireworks show, which is going to be awesome because it's choreographed to Elvis music. So why not? It's the 4th of July, and we're celebrating it on the 5th.
I love this. As a matter of fact, Netflix has a great documentary on Stax that just came out. Just really fascinating. Where can people go if they want to get information, if they want to become a part of the All-American Weekend?
Yeah, just go to Graceland.com. Every single piece of information is listed on our website, plus more. There's everything you could ever want is on Graceland.com.
All right, Graceland.com. And again, it all kicks off, of course, the 4th of July is Thursday, Friday, the Memphis Music Salute, fireworks, and the All-American Party. And then Saturday, you guys are even doing a huge American Gospel brunch.
Yeah, with the Tennessee Mass Choir. And let me tell you, have you ever seen the Tennessee Mass Choir?
They're amazing.
They're amazing. That is, that for me is like going to be the highlight of my weekend is the gospel brunch. I'm really excited. And there's tickets still available for that too.
I love this. All right, let's go back to the phones. You want to stick around for a second and take some calls?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Tom in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hey, so glad she's on the air with you. I had a question. You know, back when Liberty Land was around, if you're familiar with that, it was an amusement park at the fairgrounds. And, at, you know, at one point it was in decline, and we always felt like that would have been a great opportunity for Graceland Enterprises to create an Elvis-themed, you know, amusement park. Well, that all went away, of course, and has been revisioned at the fairgrounds. But is there any kind of a plan, perhaps, to consider creating some sort of ride and kind of ongoing attraction-based kind of complex, kind of like, you know, you have at Liberty Land, but maybe over in the Graceland complex area?
Tom, that's a great question. Thank you for the call.
That is a great question. And I will say, you know, never say never, because, you know, in my world, we just never really know what's going to pop up or what's going to come around the corner or what's going to be presented to us. You really never know. But I would say, like, currently right now, like, that's not a plan because there are other things that, you know, have, I guess, are working on, you know, producing out in the neighborhood.
All right, write this down. You can use this, Alicia, free of charge. The Shake, Rattle, and Roller Coaster.
Oh, right? I love Isn't that. Awesome? I love that. That's perfect.
Let's go to Cindy, Dallas, Texas. And Cindy, I understand you have an Elvis story.
Yes, I grew up on Fort Hood, and Elvis was stationed there. One of my little girlfriends growing up, her mom went out with Elvis, has a picture to prove it. She had the beehive hairdo and everything. I guess she was one of Tom Parker's girls. And Elvis's house was two blocks from my junior high. It had an indoor bowling alley and an indoor swimming pool.
How cool.
So, for a while there, about 20 years ago, the town, Killeen, Texas, had shirts that they promoed that said Elvis slept here. And then it would give the dates of when he was there. So anywho, that's my Elvis story. My grandfather actually cut his hair, but he wasn't the first one to cut his hair. But he did cut his hair.
That's a great story.
Great memories. Cindy, you got to come by. Next time you're in Memphis, you've got to swing by Graceland and check out all the exhibits. It's really, really breathtaking.
Yes, I want to see the jungle room. That's what I want to see.
Absolutely.
Oh, the jungle. It's pretty cool. You're going to love it, Cindy. All right, thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in. 901-260-5926 is our number. So again, and this is family-friendly, is
that
right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, and if people want to get information, tickets, tell us, again, the website.
Graceland.com.
All right, Graceland.com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a lot of fun, and what a beautiful thing that Memphis has, one of the nation's great gems right here in Memphis, Tennessee, not too far away from our studios. And by the way, of course, KWAM, our flagship station, We are in that Elvis lore, that folklore. This was the first radio station where he performed as a young kid.
I love that. Again, so, everybody has an Elvis
everybody's
story.
Everybody's got an Elvis story.
He touched a lot of pieces of Memphis, and that's what makes it really special.
And real quick, you were telling me you have an Elvis story as well. You've been there 17 years.
Yeah, I've been here 17 years.
And you've got
years.
An Elvis story.
I do. It's really interesting because my grandfather, who passed away when I was pretty young, I was 9 years old, and he was the captain of the Tennessee Highway Patrol. And so I really didn't know him, and I didn't really know these stories until I had been working at Graceland for about 10 years. My mom finds a magazine from probably like 1958, who knows, 1957. And there is a picture of Elvis standing with my grandfather. My grandfather had presented him a badge as an honorary member of the Tennessee Highway Patrol.
Wow.
And we have the badge in our collection. Isn't that wild? I never knew. Never knew.
It's a great story. Everybody has an Elvis
Everybody
story.
Does.
All right, Alicia, thank you so much for coming by. And just thank all the great team there at Graceland. You guys have done such a wonderful job in preserving the great history of Elvis Presley.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Alicia Dean, everybody, the marketing, promotions, and event specialist for Elvis Presley Enterprises. And again, Graceland.com if you'd like information on joining us for what's going to be an incredible All-American weekend at Graceland. And you can get, again, get information at Graceland.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. We have to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A little Elvis Presley there, and the song that really launched him into stardom. That's all right. And that's all right that we're playing Elvis on the national show today. You know, we talk a lot about the bad stuff that happens here in the Memphis area, but there is so much greatness. And this is why I'm just passionate about my hometown. And, you know, we could have done this national radio show from New York City. We could have done it from Los Angeles or Chicago. But I wanted to come back home because I love my town. And there's a little burst of pride when the announcer comes on and says, "We're broadcasting from the banks of the mighty Mississippi." That means something to me. And it's exciting that I'm able to share these little bits of greatness that are coming out of Memphis. And one of the interesting things that Alicia was telling me, they've got a children's performance camp coming up. And when the Elvis movie came out, they were just deluged with kids wanting to come to Graceland and learn how to be a musician. So I think that's pretty awesome. All right, folks. Hey, got to leave it there. Graceland.com. Go and check it out. And if you're in the area, go. It's going to be a lot of fun. 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We're going to break down what's happening at the White House press briefing. In the meantime, you get out there and you be good, America.